All right, so get this. Today's deep dive, it takes us into, well, a story. A story that kind of blends history, prophecy, even a little bit of mystery, you know? We're going all the way back to a centuries-old prediction about the papacy, and we're going to mix that in with a, well, to be honest, kind of cryptic God equation.
Right.
And the way these two things are connected, well, it makes you think about just how connected, like really connected, everything is.
Yeah, you know, it's intriguing the way these different threads, I mean, you've got ancient prophecies, you've got these like complex equations, and you put it all together with this very human need to make sense of it all, you know, to understand our spiritual side.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today. So to start off, for people who might not be familiar with this whole thing, let's break it down.
Okay.
What exactly I is the God equation?
Well, that's the thing.
Okay.
The text, it's deliberately vague. You know, it doesn't give you like a formula or anything. It dances around it.
So we're not talking about like AMCSOR here.
No, no, not at all. It's more about the IDA of the equation, what it represents.
Okay. So it's like a symbol, something that unlocks some big truth about us.
Exactly. Think of it like a catalyst or something, like something that can change how we see ourselves, you know, and where we fit in the grand scheme of things.
And this is where St. Malachy comes in, right?
Yeah.
Can you give us a little refresher on this whole prophecy thing and how it all ties back to this God equation?
Absolutely. So we got to go back way back to the 12th century.
Okay.
St. Malachy, he was this Irish archbishop, and the story goes he had this vision. In this vision, he saw all the future popes.
Wait, so he predicted every single pope for like centuries to come?
That's the claim, yeah. He even predicted the very last pope, the one he called Petrus Romanus. And according to him, this Petrus Romanus, well, he'd be the last pope before some big changes, a major transformation in the church.
Hold on, hold on. Are we saying that this God equation, this symbol, it predicted Pope Francis, as in the current Pope Francis?
It's a bit more nuanced than that, but in a way, yeah. The text seems to be saying that this God equation, it's like it decodes Malachy's prophecy and points right at Pope Francis as this Petrus Romanus figure.
Wow, okay. I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. So they're saying that Pope Francis is the last pope? That's a pretty bold statement to make.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And to be honest, whether someone buys into this prophecy or not is up to them. But one thing's for sure, you can't say that Pope Francis has been a conventional pope.
No, not at all. Even the fact that he's the first Jesuit pope is a big deal.
Right.
But this text, it claims there's more to it, right? It's not just about Pope Francis being the last pope.
Right. It's suggesting that this God equation, when it was deciphered, I guess, it revealed something about this thing called the Kabbalistic Tree of Life. And at the center of it all is this Petrus Romanus.
Okay. Got to stop you there for a second. What's the Kabbalistic Tree of Life?
So for people who aren't familiar with Kabbalah, it can be a little dense, but basically, think of it as like a map, but instead of places, it maps out creation and how we humans spiritually evolve. It's pretty complex stuff.
Right. And this equation somehow revealed a new version of this map.
That's what the text claims. Like, okay. It's showing us a massive shift in human consciousness that's happening right now.
Wow. Okay. So we've got this prophecy, this mysterious equation, and now some kind of spiritual shift that's happening on a global scale.
Yeah.
But who are the people involved in all of this? Like, who figures out this equation, H-O-W?
Well, that's where it gets even more interesting. The text describes this, well, kind of a secret meeting back on June 19th, 2007.
Okay, June 19th, 2007. I'm assuming that date's important.
It was the summer solstice.
Right, of course. Summer solstice. Go on.
So picture this. Rome, the basement of Santa Maria della Vittoria Church. And in this basement, you've got a physicist, a Jesuit priest, and get this, a descendant of, well, Druidic priests.
Okay, hold up. A physicist, a priest, and someone who traces their lineage back to, like, ancient Celtic priests.
Yeah, an interesting mix, right. And they're all there working together, trying to unlock the secrets of this God equation.
It's like something out of a Dan Brown novel. But what were they actually doing with this equation, trying to solve it?
You know, it doesn't seem like they were approaching it like a math problem, you know, with, like, formulas and calculations and all that. They were trying to understand what it meant. What it meant for humanity.
Okay, so did they ever actually crack the code?
Well, if you believe the text, yes. They describe this moment, a moment of total clarity, like a spiritual awakening. But here's the really wild part. This moment, it happened at the exact same time as another major event.
What event?
The papal conclave, the one to elect the new pope.
You mean the conclave that elected Pope Francis? Are you saying these two things, the equation being deciphered and Pope Francis being elected, happened simultaneously?
That's exactly what the text wants us to believe. It claims that right at the moment the group in Rome unlocked the equation, the cardinals over in the Vatican, they all had this shared vision.
A vision.
They all saw the same man, and they knew instinctively that this man was Petrus Romanus.
And that man turned out to be Cardinal Bergoglio, who we now know as Pope Francis.
Exactly. It's like this incredible cosmic coincidence, or at least that's how the text presents it.
This is wild. Okay, so we've got the prophecy, the equation, the gathering, the vision, and then bam, Pope Francis is elected. But what about the equation itself? What happened to it after all that?
Okay, so this is one of the parts that really makes you think. The text says that just 6 years after they put it all together, the group, they destroyed it.
They destroyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they do that? You'd think something that profound, that world-changing, would be, I don't know, put on display, studied.
Right. It seems counterintuitive. But the text seems to suggest that they had their reasons. Like, the equation, it wasn't meant to be kept. It served its purpose, and that was it.
So it was like a key, but once you use it to open the door, it vanishes.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it plays into this idea of spiritual growth as this journey, you know? You don't just arrive at the destination.
Right. It's all about the journey, not the destination. Okay, but what about the people involved? What happened to the physicist, the priest, the expert on druidic traditions?
Well, the text, it kind of hints at what happened to them. It seems like after all of that, they all went on these very different paths, almost like it was reflecting this idea that we all have our own unique spiritual journey.
So what, like some stayed religious, some didn't?
It's more nuanced than that. Take Brother Timothy, the Jesuit priest. The text talks about how he fully embraced the changes Pope Francis made, how he found peace and meaning in being part of a more open and compassionate church.
So even with all this talk about a global spiritual shift, some people, like Brother Timothy, found their way within these existing structures.
Exactly. And then you have Father Jonathan, the one who hosted the whole gathering. He actually chose to step away from his duties, started a family.
Wow, so completely different paths. One finds deeper meaning in his faith, the other seemingly finds peace outside of it. That's really interesting.
It really shows there's no right way to be spiritual. You know, everyone's path is unique. And then, of course, there's Dr. Newman, the physicist. She kept going with her scientific work. Like, this deep dive into spirituality didn't diminish her curiosity about the universe. If anything, it probably made it stronger.
It's like her understanding of science, of what science could be, expanded because of this experience. Fascinating. But what about David Noel Lynch, the descendant of the Druidic priest, the one who had that vision that led to the gathering in the first place?
Yeah, his story is interesting. The text suggests that vision stayed with him even after they destroyed the equation. Like, it continued to guide him. He actually ended up expressing this experience, this Gnostic experience, through art, and in doing so kind of became this mentor to others who were searching for a deeper connection to something bigger than themselves.
So, okay, let's say, for argument's sake, that Pope Francis really is this Petrus Romanus. What happens after? Like, does the text say what a world without a pope looks like?
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And the text, it kind of, I don't know, it plays it close to the chest. Doesn't really give you a straight answer.
No doom and gloom, no predictions about the end of the world.
Nope. Instead of, like, a set of directions, it gives you, I don't know, possibilities, I guess. Like, it's saying that humanity with Petrus Romanus were at this edge, this beginning of a totally new chapter, spiritually speaking, you know? Yeah. And this new chapter, it might not need organized religion the way it used to.
So are you saying churches, temples, all of that, they might become, I don't know, obsolete?
Maybe not obsolete, exactly, but maybe less central in people's lives. Maybe they'll change, adapt, or maybe something totally new will come along. The text seems to be pointing to this idea of personal gnosis, this direct connection with something bigger than yourself, without needing someone or something to tell you how.
So less dogma, more individual experience.
Exactly. It's like the text is saying, hey, you don't need to rely on these old structures anymore. Look inside yourself, find your own connection.
I get it, but it's a huge e-shift. You know, I mean, look at history. Religion, it's been the backbone of so many cultures for centuries. It's how people understand the world themselves.
Absolutely. And now here we are facing this possibility of a future where that's not necessarily true anymore. But it's not about losing faith, right? It's about recognizing that spirituality, it's personal.
It's like the text is turning the tables, right? Instead of giving answers, it's asking us, okay, this might be happening. What are you going to do about it?
It really does feel that way. And honestly, that's what makes it so interesting. It's not some prophecy carved in stone. It's more like an invocation, you know? It's urging us to ask questions, to go on our own journeys, figure out where we fit into all of this.
So where does that leave us? What can our listeners take away from all this?
If nothing else, I hope it's sparked some curiosity, you know? Maybe even got some people thinking about their own Abuan beliefs and experiences. Because at the end of the day, that's what the text seems to be asking for. Don't be afraid to question. Don't be afraid to explore. And most importantly, don't be afraid to find your own way.
That's a great place to wrap it up. So as you go about your day, as you think about this potential shift, this maybe end of religion as we know it, ask yourself, what's my journey, Bonnie? What am I going to discover? Until next time, keep those questions coming. And as always, keep diving deep.